is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Sound Money Podcast. I am your host here, Steve McGarry. And on this episode, I sit down with Gary Bracey. Now, this is an incredible interview where he goes through the entire background of his career, which leads him to start a company called Terra Virtua. And it is an incredible project that's super ambitious, and his background perfectly aligns with what they're trying to do, effectively licensing really exclusive IP from widely known brands like your Paramount Pictures that include things like Lost in Space, Pacific Rim, The Godfather, things like that. And they're creating exclusive NFTs on their platform where you can go on there, purchase NFTs, and showcase them in a virtual world. They also have an application and a token, a lot going on here, but they have a massive distributed team, and it's a really exciting interview. So without further ado, let's dive right into my interview with Gary Bracey, the CEO of Terra Virtua. How's it going, Gary?
Great, Steve. Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to kind of dig a little bit in to Terra Virtua, and I've been obsessed with the website. It's super slick and easy to use and fun to look at, above all, just with all the designs of all these big names. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of Terra Virtua, let's hear a little bit about yourself. Let's hear, you know, what's your background and what led you to start Terra Virtua?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for asking me along, Steve. It goes back, my career goes back to the mid 80s. I've been involved with video games pretty much from the early days of video games, the very, very early days, when they weren't video games, they were computer games. And I worked with a company called Ocean Software. I was one of the early people heading up development and game design, etc. And we were the first company really to license movies to make games from. And that, I like to think, helped propel computer games into the mainstream, because at one time they were just considered a little bit geeky, a little bit nerdy and niche. And what happened was, when we started licensing big brand movies like RoboCop and Untouchables and Top Gun and ultimately Jurassic Park, then that sort of helped shift that into the mainstream. And the only reason I'm mentioning that is because there is some relevance to what we're doing now with NFTs. I've been in video games pretty much all my working career. It was great fun. I enjoyed it, and I've been involved in every aspect of that. We started off as a developer publisher, and I started up heading up the development department and built the first real major in-house studio. This was even before the days of EA. I've been involved in video games, watched all the transitions from computer to console to handheld to mobile, and I've been involved in games in all of those different transitions and in different ways, going from development to publishing to marketing to licensing. So quite a varied amount of experience in a very unvaried sector. And that's what brought me indirectly to Terra Virtua.
Nice. So you've watched literally from day zero, when it was considered computer games, you know, you had Atari and things like that, all the way to where it is now, where, you know, even on just your cell phone, you have these things that are light years faster than what it was originally. Yeah. That must be super surreal to watch.
It is. I mean, you look back and you think, what I often like to say is that the first computers that I was working with were things like the VIC-20 and the Sinclair Spectrum, which had memory of 16K. You had to write a game in 16K, which these days would just be a little bit of text in a video game. It's just mind-blowing and baffling how we were able to get things actually interactive and fun in such a small space, but such is progress.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And so fast too, like extremely quick. So that's a good transition into Terra Virtua. So you have this extensive experience with building these different types of video games in all different aspects, all these different departments over the years. and you have all this experience across the board. So what is Terra Virtua and how are you guys using NFTs?
Sure. Well, it's all part and parcel of one story, I guess. I had a meeting set up with some guy whose name was Jawad Ashraf, who I never knew, and a meeting set up by a mutual friend. He was looking to develop a VR games publishing company. Well, he had a VR games publishing company, and he was looking for a way of publishing, bringing his product to Europe and looking for help with publishing. And a mutual friend suggested I could help. I was doing a little bit of consultancy at the time. We met up in a coffee shop in an area of the UK called Staines, and we instantly hit it off. And we started brainstorming. And very soon, the original proposal of why he came to meet me was forgotten about. And we started thinking about the blockchain and how we can actually gamify it in a way. And NFTs gradually came into the mix. And we parted having agreed that we would start a new venture together, which became Terra Virtua. And the idea was NFTs, the NFT platforms are quite complicated to get to grips with. What we wanted to do was bring NFTs to the mainstream. I mean, this was our fundamental goal and ambition, because it's not a small ambition, to take what is essentially a small nascent sector at the moment to the mass market on a global scale. And so the challenges arose quite quickly. The first one was onboarding people. We realized that we had to get something that was as simple and as friendly as Amazon, for instance, when you register. So you come onto Terra Virtua, you sign in. If you're a crypto person and you have a wallet and everything else, that's fine. We accept all that. But for someone who doesn't, that's quite a lengthy and complicated process. And every complicated process, as we've discovered with video games, represents a hurdle, and you lose people every single hurdle along the way. So we had to make it as smooth a transition as possible. So we made this interface that onboards you as simply as Amazon. You register with your email address, credit card, and bang, you're in. And you can go and buy stuff straight away. So the whole website and process is designed to be friendly and intuitive. The next challenge we had was creating products that people would essentially trust or at least find familiar. Mm-hmm. So this is where I go back to what I was originally talking about with video games and licensing movies, making something that's familiar. And so we approached a number of movie studios. We were fortunate enough. In the meantime, what we'd done is we'd assembled this amazing team of people. So it grew from just Jawad and myself, and we brought on some great people, mostly from the video games sector. And they sort of bolstered everything that we were doing. Jawad had a development team at his disposal, essentially, and which is, they were the guys who were originally developing the VR stuff. And they obviously pivoted to create and help us develop Terra Virtua. So what we had by virtue of our previous careers were contacts in the movie space and in licensing generally. So we approached some large studios. They didn't know what the hell we were talking about, NFTs and collectibles. But there was trust there. We built up trust over the years. We dealt with them before. We'd made them a lot of money via video games. So there was a leap of faith. And we managed to tie down some pretty big licenses. And we got to creating and designing NFTs based on these licenses. And that was the next stage in order to attract the mainstream, and that is create things that are really, really high fidelity and quality. Because if you're asking someone to pay tens of dollars, hundreds of dollars, and in some cases thousands of dollars for a virtual item, then it really needs to be of the highest quality. So that was a challenge we set ourselves. And I think we're pretty much achieving that. We do 3D, very, very high fidelity, high resolution animated items. So one recent acquisition we made was the Godzilla v. Kong movie, which is great for obviously creating action figures and animating them. And the guys are having great fun doing that, except for the fur on Kong, which is a bit of a challenge. But we get there. And so we're making these rich, sort of semi-interactive action figures, which people seem to be very, very receptive to, and they seem to be going very, very well. We've done Pacific Rim, we've done Lost in Space, we've done Top Gun, Godfather, things like that, and there are quite a few others on the way. So we're building up this whole thing. The next challenge was, okay, we're giving people the opportunity to purchase these items, these assets, but what can they do with them? Do they just sit there invisible on the computer screen? What we do know is that when people are collectors and when they acquire things, they like to show them off. They like to exhibit them. They like to their friends to see them and hopefully envy what they have. So we decided to build environments in which people could bring their NFTs and store them. And this is what I have behind me as my background. This is our fan cave. And you can store your NFTs that you've purchased, and you can then bring your friends in to these environments, and you can show them off, and they can interact with them. I'm sorry, my light seems to have gone a bit dark.
That's all right.
So what we've created is a fan cave, which is the thing you can see behind me. I know this is just a still shot, but everything's animating normally and moving as it should do. We also have a terradome, which is where you can store your large items like vehicles, like spaceships, like Godzilla and Kong, and the Pacific Rim Jaegers, that type of thing. Huge areas. We also have a 3D gallery. So soon you'll have the opportunity to create your own private 3D gallery and put your acquired art NFTs into it. And again, bring your friends in, show them around and show off your gallery. Or if not, you can actually put them on the wall. Sorry, it's mirrored. On the wall behind you, you can see there's frames and you can put your art in your fan cave if you wish. So this is an all-encompassing platform, which I don't believe people have focused on so much. So you have your marketplace in which you can buy, auction, trade. You have your environments in which you can bring your items in. We want to make it a very social experience. So you'll be able to bring your friends into your fan cave. There'll be voiceover IP. You can talk to them about it. And what you can't see in this photo is there's a screen there as well, which shows video. And at the moment, we're just running trailers of the movies that we're supporting. But in time, we'll be able to stream stuff more specific to what your interests are, and maybe interviews like this, and you'll be able to customize what is showing on your screen. So we want to make it a very, very social area. And that's it. So the final challenge of all these, getting this whole NFT into mainstream thing, is people and marketing. And marketing is normally the creation of awareness, making people aware that such a thing called Terra Virtua exists, and you can get Godzilla v. Kong digital action figures. That's normal marketing. But we have an additional challenge, and that is people don't know what NFTs are. They don't know what digital collectibles are. So marketing also for us encompasses education. We have to go out there with a message and very, very simply explain what we're doing, what NFTs are all about. This is a whole new sector, and it's an incredibly exciting sector. But as we discussed before, 99% of people just don't know that it exists. Mm-hmm. And we have that issue as well, that blockchain is generally viewed by the outside world with more than a hint of suspicion. It has some negative connotations because of what's gone before. And And we have to restore that trust from the public and say, look, this is a safe place. This is great fun. This is a whole new concept. Come in and try it and experience it. And it is all about experience. So it's a question of ourselves and many other companies in the NFT space having to bring people in and give them as best an experience as they can, so that they will come, tell their friends, and the whole sector will grow. And I passionately believe that is what's going to happen. And I also believe it's going to happen very, very soon and very, very quickly, because now we're seeing the Mark Cubans of this world and these big influencers are actually talking about NFTs. So it's already getting noticed. And what we need is something that's going to propel this sector into the mainstream. And we're hoping that we'll be a significant part of that.
Yeah, I love the licensing route, and it's very much woven in with your background and your experience and how adoption of video games really happened, was with these big blockbuster, you know, licenses right up in front to help people adopt the technology. And I think it's a beautiful way of doing it, to get it in the hands of people that are all these kind of fan bases all across the internet, right, which is a great way of doing it. And that's kind of built-in marketing in a way. So let's say, you know, I have my room behind me. You have your room behind you. I love that it's like a little virtual world. I can showcase it, get people to come into the environment. What about trading? Are you going to be able to swap? And also, how does the ownership work? Because I know that a lot of people talk about NFTs being, you know, a big part of it being the intent of the owner to own it and to transfer that ownership. So how does that work with you guys?
Well, obviously that's the big deal. And this is one of the, it's good that you've mentioned that, because this is one of the main motivators that made us want to do this. We sort of looked at the world of skins in games. Yeah. We saw that Fortnite was generating billions of dollars from people just wanting to purchase digital apparel in the game and be different and have something to reflect their personality. And that was wonderful. But in 10 years time, or whenever, when Fortnite eventually gets taken offline, all of those digital items that have been purchased disappear. Once the game is gone, that's the supporting thing that allows the items that have been bought to be there. Mm-hmm. Once the game's gone, all of those items go as well. And my introduction to NFTs was that NFTs aren't like that. They're immutable, they're permanent. And once you've bought something, it's there forever. And unless you sell it, it's yours forever. It's there on the blockchain. The transaction is recorded on the blockchain, and you have proof of ownership. And not just that, and this was where the real beauty came in. If you mint 5 of this item, this whatever this item is, and I mint 5 of them, if you're interested in buying it, you can actually go online and check that there are only ever 5 of these items, which you can't do in real life. If an artist creates a print of a piece of their work and they say this is 1 of 100, we've only printed 100 of these, there's no real way to authenticate that. They could have made 1,000 of them, but they're telling everyone there's just 100. The rarity governs the price. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, the rarity is based on trust. Whereas with the blockchain, as we know, it's trustless. You can actually verify that there were only 10 of this item ever made. So we love this whole concept. So obviously in our marketplace, you buy something, it's recorded on the blockchain, you can see the provenance, you can see the history of the item you've bought, if you're not the first purchaser, and so on and so forth. You can then trade it. People can see on our marketplace that there is this item, this thing behind me, which you can see that side, that I bought for $500. They can see that and they can make a bid for it. Whether I want to sell it or not, people can make a bid for it. And if I'm willing to accept their bid, that transaction will take place on the blockchain. And obviously the transfer of ownership will go with the transfer of funds, and the transaction's complete. It's a really elegant way of doing things. And obviously it's not just NFTs. This is what I believe is going to transform commerce generally in the future. I was talking to a fintech company earlier, and I don't think they really appreciated the magnitude of what the blockchain's going to bring. Once all of this suspicion and, you know, lawlessness, it's the Wild West at the moment. It still is. It's not as much Wild West as it was 2 years ago, but it's the Wild West. And once all of that settled down and there's some sort of sensible roadmap for blockchain to be adopted in the real world, it's going to change everything. And I remember listening to people saying that 2 or 3 years ago when I got into blockchain, and feeling very, very cynical and skeptical about it. But now I'm a convert. You know, it is the future, and it's a wonderful thing. But we've got to get rid of all of those suspicions and perceptions.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So one of my favorite things, I majored in economics, so I'm always interested in like these little economies that people can create now on chain. And you guys have a token, and you also have staking. So if I scoop up all the Top Gun helmets, you know, I can get staking rewards, right? So could you talk a little bit about that and how that works?
Yeah, I mean, we're offering staking by BitMEX at the moment. I can't go. We've got a genius guy with us. His name's David Atkinson, who's designed our entire tokenomics. And he's incorporated some very, very interesting DeFi elements, one of which is the Prestige Club. And understand, there's no big revelations here, because we are about to announce shortly exactly what this is going to entail. I can give you broad brushstrokes, but I can't give any detail. But it's very, very close. And I got the final white paper yesterday, and it's wonderful. This guy's very, very clever. So what we're doing is we've got a Prestige Club, which will be, I always describe it like an airline loyalty club. You've got bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and depending on how many TBK or token you hold, you will get that tier of privilege. And those privileges will vary enormously from, you know, getting previews of new forthcoming NFTs to maybe even some sort of personal engagement or interaction with a celebrity who's associated with those NFTs. But there is a lot of financial incentive and staking rewards that are going to come out. I don't want to ruin anyone's revelation, so I can't go into detail. But there is one fundamental thing that I really enjoy about TVK, and that is we're not using it as a currency. People say, oh, so I've got to buy your token in order to purchase one of your NFTs. No. You can purchase an NFT with Ethereum. You can purchase with a credit card. That's not the point of our token. The point of our token is to hold it and use it in a way that gets you privileges and interesting stuff, which you otherwise wouldn't be able to acquire without. And it's a lovely way of doing it. It's a loyalty thing. And then hopefully, if you do that, you get the token, you stake it, you use it to leverage all of these benefits. Then in a certain time, 6 or 12 months later, when you may be bored or you may just need to transfer it into money, hopefully those tokens will be worth a little bit more than when you originally paid for them. So it's a good investment anyway. There's no guarantee of that, but that's the way this whole thing works. And it just changes everything. And that's what I find so exciting about this whole sector. I mean, we're not in it for the short term. This is a lot. We've got a big roadmap, and there are major plans in expanding the whole system. Our original vision in 3 years ago in that coffee shop was to actually create Ready Player One. I mean, you know, a world where you are served all of your digital entertainment and real entertainment in one place, which at the time we believed was going to be VR, which may or may not be the case. But that's the ultimate goal. And so we've got a really serious roadmap. And in order to build that and carve it out, you can't be in this for the short term. You know, this is a multi-year plan. And what's interesting is when we first launched and announced Terra Virtua 3 years ago, or whatever it was, we actually rented BAFTA, the BAFTA headquarters, the film headquarters, where we screened the movie Ready Player One, which hadn't been released. This was 2 weeks before the formal release. And we screened the movie to the press, and we introduced it as the trailer for Terra Virtua. This is a two-hour Terra Virtua trailer. I'll never forget that. And that's always been the vision, but of course it's baby steps, and there's so much more to do along the way, but it's a hell of a journey we've got planned.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Russ before the call here. And I'd love to learn a little bit about the team. Are you guys, how big are you guys? Are you guys distributed across, you know, the US, the UK? And what's the team like?
We couldn't do this without the team. I mean, you know, quite often I'm the front man on some of these things, but I always have to acknowledge that, you know, I'm just one cog in a great machine, and very, very proud to be part of that machine. We got Russ. Actually, I don't want to mention names because you miss one out and you feel dreadful afterwards. But the team, everyone's been handpicked, and everyone bleeds Terra Virtua.